Blog Talk Radio.
And take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sing, my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen. Praise God. I'm so glad he is, aren't you? I'm glad he's a great and mighty God, amen, to be feared and to be loved and to be adored and to be treasured and to be praised and to be honored and not to be ignored and not to be treated like an afterthought or second place or when I get around to it or I'm going to hush or I'll get on your case in a minute. Amen. That's why we're here, isn't it? Isn't it why we come to church? Just, I mean, listen, somebody told me a long time ago, preaching is about two things. It's about comforting the afflicted, and it's about afflicting the comforted. Amen? If you're too comfortable, you need to get a little uncomfortable. Amen? If you're uncomfortable, God will give you a little comfort. Amen? But you don't need to get too comfortable. Amen? Because we get too comfortable, it'd be like we set up the nursing home. You start looking and saying, oh, well, they're bad, and they're bad, and they're bad, and you're not looking at the one in the mirror who's really the bad guy. Amen? All right, take your Bible, turn to John chapter 8 this morning. I told you last week we'd be in John for a little ways. And this is simply a continuation of where we were at last week. And if you remember where we were at last week, Jesus was in the temple early in the morning, and he was teaching, he was sitting down, all the people had gathered around, and in the middle of it all comes a loud ruckus, and a bunch of Pharisees dragging a woman in and bringing her before Jesus to try to set him up and to trick him, trap him, find out what he would do with this woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. And, of course, we saw last week that Jesus did not brush the event aside and act like it was no big deal that this woman was caught in her grievous sexual sin. No, that's not what he did at all. But he simply took the law that they were trying to get him caught with, and he took the law and he showed them, first of all, that they were all sinners. He showed them that they were all guilty. And one by one they began to leave. And then, according to the law of Moses, a woman, she was guilty. They found her in the very act. So she obviously was guilty, and she was, according to the law, she was sentenced to die by stoning. But the thing was, also the man was too, and they didn't bring him or they didn't mention him. And one by one, all of her accusers left, and the Bible said that it could only happen, it had to have be more than one accuser, that nobody could die at the word of one accuser. And Jesus, he asked her, he said, woman, where are thine accusers? And he said, doth no man accuse you? And she said, no man, Lord. And he said, well, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. Okay, that's key. Go and sin no more. Again, Jesus did not just brush her sin off like it was no big deal. In other words, you got away with it this time. Don't do it again. Don't do it. And I can tell you this, and I'm not trying to harp on last week's message, but you may have got away with it last time. That's not because you weren't guilty. It's just because God didn't see fit to bring down the hammer on you last time. He's giving you grace. Don't do it again. Amen. But the key thing here I want you to understand is what we talked about last week and what we're talking about this week are not two separate events. One took place right after the other, okay? So again, realize that what started off as a peaceful, quiet, serene setting with Jesus teaching his disciples, in comes this calamity, this motley crew of religious misfits who drag her in and try to create this scene. And so let's pick up there in verse 8, and we'll read verses 12 through 20. John chapter 8, verses 12 through 20. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, we love you. We thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for another beautiful day. Thank you, Lord, for another day of this life. Father, as we come to the time of preaching, Father, we ask you that you might come and meet with us. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would open our understanding, allow us, Lord, to take in the truth of the Word of God, speak to us, minister to us, do a work in our hearts and lives today. Lord, be with those who are listening to us on the radio, through the internet, however they may have reached us, Lord. We praise you for that. We thank you for that opportunity to broadcast the Word of God into all ears that will listen all over this world. What a privilege, what a thrill it is. Lord, we look forward to the day when we get to heaven and we see the people whose lives were impacted as a result of the preaching of the Word of God through this ministry. Lord, we're so excited about that. Lord, we just pray for these that are in the room today. Lord, I want you to touch them. Lord, I want you to impact them. Lord, oh, Lord, you don't know. Lord, you do know. They don't know just how bad. I want them to be touched by the Word of God today. You know, and I ask you please to do it. Do it even greater than I could imagine. Lord, do something in our lives today. Straighten our feet to walk the path you have before us. Fix our eyes upon Christ that we might not be distracted. Lord, please give me the power of the Holy Ghost. Please use me. Fill me up this morning. Forgive my sin. Cleanse me, Lord, of anything that comes between you and I. Lord, I know it's me. I pray you'd forgive me. I pray you'd cleanse me. I pray, Lord, that you would, Lord, every fiber of my being might be controlled and empowered by the Holy Ghost of God today. Lord, please deliver the message you want delivered. And I turn it over to you and ask you to take control now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. We're going to focus this morning on verse 12, basically. We'll look down through it just a second here. I want to hit the highlights, so we're going to go back to verse 12, and we're going to stay there pretty much. But we're going to that's our text verse. So as soon as this woman, I don't know whether she left. Bible doesn't say. He just said, go and sin no more. That don't mean she had to go. If she wanted to stay and listen, I'm sure he let her stay and listen. But he said, go and sin no more. And he went. And he works right off of that incident that happened. Don't think these are two things. This is all together. It all works together. Even though they had planned to use this against Jesus, Jesus took what they meant for evil and turned around and used it for an illustration to teach them something. All right? So then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. You know what? He just showed them what walking in darkness looked like. They demonstrated it before him. When they brought this woman in and they were guilty of the things she was guilty of, all of them are a bunch of sinners just trying to come against Jesus. That's walking in darkness. And he says, I'm the light of the world. And if you follow me, you're not going to walk in darkness, but you'll have the light of life. And the Pharisees, and you say, what Pharisee? I thought they all left. Well, they did, but there were still some more. Maybe there were some more who were around in the group. Maybe they had come in amongst the others who were listening to Jesus and just had not spoke up. And maybe these were younger guys. Maybe these were a little more cocky. And the ones that come in with the woman of, accused of adultery, they'd already left. They all went out. So these others, maybe now they got emboldened to speak up because they didn't like what happened to their brothers. And they said, in a nutshell, they said, you know, you're up there talking about yourself, but what you're saying is not true. You can say what you want to about yourself, Jesus, but you're not telling the truth. That's what they were saying. And Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yeah, I might be the one telling you that, but my record is true. Whence I came, I know where I came from. I know I came from heaven. I know I came from the Father. He said, and I know whither I go. I know where I'm going to. I'm going back to him. When all this is done, when you crucify me, when I'm resurrected, I'm going back to the Father. And he said, ye judge after the flesh. That's the only source of your judgment, is everything that you have seen, done, felt, and experienced in this worldly life. That's all the wisdom you have is earthly wisdom, common sense, as we put it. Okay? What you learn from your daddy and your grandpa and your uncles and your neighbors and your friends and what you've seen them do, that's the only source of judgment that you have. So the Bible tells us that the natural man or the flesh receiveth not the things of God. Neither can he know them or learn them because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, the things of God don't come to us through anybody teaching us necessarily unless the Spirit of God is using that person. It has to come from God as the source, or that wisdom is nothing. He said, I judge no man. Now, you wouldn't think that that were true. You wouldn't think that that was the case. You wouldn't say, well, Jesus, surely you're judging people down here on this earth. But that's not what I'm doing here. He wasn't judging. He was using the Word of God and letting the Word of God do it. He's saying, I'm not doing anything on my own opinion. He said, and yet if I judge, my judgment's true. I'm doing it right. For I'm not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. I'm using the Father's judgment. Y'all claim to be using the Father's judgment, but you're not. I am. He said, it is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. He said, okay. So you say, I'm the only one doing it. No. He said, I'm one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. He did. And remember when he was baptized, the Father had thunder. They all heard it thunder, but God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Another time he says, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. Hear ye him. Father has testified that Jesus is his Son and that he is right and he is true. And I'll tell you another one. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus said, and if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And when Jesus Christ hung on the cross of Calvary, God shook the earth with a violent earthquake. God caused the light in the sky, the sun, to go out, pitch black dark for 3 hours. For 180 minutes, you couldn't see your hand in front of your face on the earth. Yes, the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, You neither know me nor my Father. What are you asking me about my Father for? You don't even know him. If you had known me, if you knew who I was, then you should have known my Father also. And these words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. They wanted to, they could taste it, but they couldn't do it. Because God was holding them back. Just like the time they tried to run him off the cliff, they couldn't do it. God was holding them back. You know, something's kind of funny. Not funny, it's kind of sad, actually. I was reading verse 19, and it made me think of last night, where he said, you neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. Last night when I got home from work, and this is for all those people out there that hate football. I love football. I love NFL football. I know it's got problems. I know there's a lot of politics mixed up in it, but I still love the game. And last night I came home and I sat down and I watched the Hall of Fame induction ceremony with these men who played their whole careers and have done tremendous at it. They're inducted into this great fraternity with gold jackets and the Hall of Fame, and they're giving speeches. And last night, Baltimore Ravens linebacker Ray Lewis, who started off his career with a murder charge against him, and he was acquitted of it, and he spent the rest of his career trying to do great things in the community, trying to clear his name. And he won two Super Bowls, won one at the beginning of his career and one at the end. And he got up last night, and you would have thought it was a church service on TV. I mean, he had a wireless mic, and he was all over the stage. He sweated through his coat. And, I mean, he was preaching love. He was preaching God this and God that. You know what? It sounded like church, except for one little thing was missing. Jesus Christ. Oh, he mentioned God this and God that and God this and God that and love, and he quoted scriptures. I mean, he was preaching, except he left out Jesus Christ. You know why he left out Jesus Christ? Because them bosses at the network don't want to hear the name Jesus Christ. You can say God all day long, but when you bring up the name Jesus, you've got a division right there. All the Jews that sat behind the controls in the office who reject Christ, and I'm not down on them because they're Jews. I'm just telling you, they say they love our God, but they reject our Savior. God help them, they need Jesus. I ain't against them. I just wish they'd get saved, but they put the brakes on preaching Christ. But I thank God for so many last night who did give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. There were some who named the name of Christ, even though they didn't want them to, but they did. And I'm thankful for that. There were some who talked about how they were going to commit suicide at times because they went through so much, but the Lord Jesus Christ brought them through it. I praise God for that. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of talk of God, but not a lot of talk of Jesus. And Jesus said, if you had known me, you should have known the Father also. But if you don't know Jesus, you don't know the Father. Amen. Now, we're going to get into the scripture this morning. But I want you to see here, I want you to look in verse 2. I want you to see what time of day it is when this is happening. The Bible says, and early in the morning. Early in the morning, he came again unto the temple. All right? And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. The disciples were there. The other people were there early in the morning. Stands to reason. The woman brought in the act of adultery. It happened in the early morning hours when she was dragged in there. Not in the middle of the day, but early, as if from the night before she was dragged in to this situation. So the sun, understand something, the sun is just rising as they're sitting in the treasury in the temple. The sun is just starting to beam in on people. Jesus is having a sunrise service. I don't know if you've ever been to a sunrise service. Usually have those around April, around Resurrection Sunday. People have sunrise services to commemorate that Sunday morning when the stone was rolled away and Jesus came out of the grave. But he's having a sunrise service even before his resurrection. So early in the morning this is happening. And the Bible says in verse 12, then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. just as the sun was coming up, just as the beams of the sun began to fall upon their faces, he said, I am the light of the world. Christ is like the sun in certain ways. I'll give you some examples. He's like the sun in that when we have Christ, listen to me, we were blind before. But now with Christ, we're able to see. When the sun comes up, you know, at night you fall into a hole, you stumble over things, you can't see where you're going. But when the sun comes up, you're able to see everything clearly. And when Jesus Christ comes into your life, suddenly everything is new and you see things totally different than you used to see them because He is the light. Amen. Are you hearing me? Are you listening to me this morning? Are you getting what I'm saying? Because I'm telling you something. You better get this. This ain't cheap. It didn't cost you nothing, but what I'm giving you this morning ain't cheap. This is rich. This is expensive stuff. This is luxurious listening. Amen? This is going to lavish the riches of glory onto your soul. Don't ignore it. Don't tune it out. Pay attention, please. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. You know what light does? Makes you feel safe in its presence. You know what? You go in that dark house at night, you hear something in the distance, and you say, what is that? I got to turn the light on. Oh, I see it. Ain't nothing now. It was a dog or something fell over. It wasn't no big deal. In the light, we feel safe in its presence. Ain't that right, Megan? Amen. You don't like to go outside at dark in the night. I understand that. That's the same way as a kid. Say, take the trash out, and all the way back from the trash can, you feel like something's gnawing right on the back of your neck. You can't get to the house fast enough to get out the dark because it's going to get you. Oh, I got to get in the house. I don't know what it is, but something behind me. Right? You feel safe in the light. Praise God. That's the way Christ is. I'm going to tell you, you know, the darkness of this world may be getting at you, but you get next to Jesus Christ, you get in His Word, and you begin to read, and all that fear melts away. Another thing He does, He warms our life, doesn't He? Amen. Our life may be cold and dark, but when Christ comes in, He brings the warmth of God into our life. And not only that, we see and we hear His effect on everybody and everything around us. Can't tell you how many mornings I've loved to sit out hunting, going, and I know some people probably won't like the fact that I've gone out and shot and killed Bambi. But I hate to tell you, them things are good to eat. Amen. I love to eat me some good chicken fried backstrap, but that's another sermon. Amen. We'll get on that some other time. We got more time to talk about food. But to go out and sit in a deer stand in the dark and the cold, and everything's quiet, deathly quiet, but you let that light begin to filter in, suddenly you hear something chattering around over in the distance, going through the leaves. Then you begin to hear a few birds tweeting and singing. Then you realize that's a squirrel gathering something, and he heads up a tree, and you hear a woodpecker knocking on a tree off in the distance, and more birds begin to sing. And nature just wakes up all around you, and you see the effect of the sun on everything around you. How it makes everything glorious, where it was dark and quiet and still and nothing moving. And now suddenly the sun comes out and everything comes to life. That's the way Jesus is in the life of a believer. Let me read you some Bible on this. You can write down the references because I'm going to move fast. Psalm 19, verse 8. The Bible says the statutes of the Lord are right. His teaching, His truth, His statutes. That's what it means. The things that He says that are right and true and lawful, His statutes are right. Rejoicing the heart when we hear His truth, we know it's right and it makes us glad that we love Him. And the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. When we read truth, and we understand truth. And these truths are not movable. These truths are solid and everlasting. And they're things that we can build our life upon. When we understand God's truth, it enlightens our eyes. We are able to have wisdom now that we didn't have before. We're able to know how to deal with problems that we didn't know how to handle before. We're able to come and rise above circumstances that we were not able to be risen above before. It enlightens our eyes. Truth does that. God's Word does that. Psalm 84:11. Listen to what this says. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. He's a S-U-N, sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. He's a sun. He gives light to everything. He gives warmth to everything. He gives life to everything. Sun gives life to the plants, the animals. Listen, we couldn't live without the sun. It gives life. It rains down vitamin D upon us. I mean, it's a life giver. And God is a sun and a shield. Not only does he expose all the air around us, not only does He expose the things that we need to do, listen, He also warms us, protects us, and He also shields us. That's who He is. Who's this describing? Anyway, it's describing Christ. Malachi 4:2. But unto you that fear His name, I'm sorry, but unto you that fear My name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in His wings. That's the S-U-N, the Son, capital S, Son of Righteousness. It's comparing Christ to the light. It's comparing Him to the sun in the sky, but He's greater than the sun in the sky. He made that sun. He spoke that sun into existence. We're not to worship that burning ball up in the sky. So many people do. They worship the creature rather than the Creator. No, we're to worship the One who made all that, the One who put it in the sky. It says, if we fear His name. What does that mean? That means we're in awe of Him. We reverence Him. He is, I think, I almost feel like this generation we live in has lost grip on what it means to revere something. I really do. And I'm afraid of that. We live in a day, bless God, we've grown up with plastic everything. When I was a child, all my toys were made out of metal. You didn't throw them away. You put them in the garage, you waited until somebody else got on to play with them. You just kept them from rusting, and you just kept handing them down. Cars lasted longer. They're made out of metal. They're all plastic and junk. Things were made of something before. In this generation we live in now, well, we use it, we throw it away. We use it, we throw it away. And I'm not trying to get on conservation. I'm just trying to say we don't understand the value of something lasting. We don't understand how to revere things. And this generation we live in is being taught to live wickedly. It's being taught to live disrespectfully. It's being taught to not have any value of anything. Everything's cheap and throw away. So listen, I don't believe that we in this generation have any idea of how to revere. And what I mean is, listen to me, God made you. He made you. You may say, well, no, my mom and daddy made me. No, God made you. Your mother and daddy donated the materials, but God made you. He made you. He put a living soul into tissue, and He sent that living soul out in this world with one purpose, and that is to glorify Him by glorifying and loving and revering His Son. Period. And if you don't have any interest in doing that, you know what? You're in trouble. If you don't have any interest in doing that, your life is going to go to junk. You hear me? I'm not trying to fuss at you, but I want you to understand something. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is to be loved and honored and revered. Respected, adored. Isaiah 42:6 says, "I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and I will hold thy hand. I will keep thee and give thee for a covenant to the people, for a light to the Gentiles." I'm so thankful that the light of truth was given to us. That's us he's talking about. That's us he's talking about over there in Isaiah. Thank God that even though the prophets didn't understand that, thank God God had a plan for us. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to start there. I'll try my best to finish around the right time today, but I want you to listen. I want you to pay attention. John 1, verse 1. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Well, the Bible tells us in John 1, 1, beginning there, down through verse 12, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men." You see that? You don't have Jesus Christ living in you, you don't have light. You're living in darkness. Hear me. If you're not saved, you can say, "I love God, I worship God, God is my God. Listen, I love God," but if you don't love Jesus Christ, you don't have His light in you. You don't love God. Don't tell me you love God if you don't love Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Now, what does that mean? Let's imagine we walked into, I'm thinking somewhere huge. Let's imagine that we walked into an airplane hangar and all the lights, all the windows had been blacked out completely. And we walked into it in the middle of the night. That's going to be as dark as you can get. And standing in the middle of that vast airplane hangar in the pitch black dark, somebody takes a match and holds it, strikes it and holds it up. It's not going to light that whole building, but you know what? The darkness that fills that whole building can't stop the light of that one little match. No matter how hard it wants to put it out, it cannot snuff the light of that match. The light shined in darkness, and basically the darkness couldn't stop it. I thought on this a long time. Jesus is the light. There's no other light. None other. In all the world, in all the universe, in all that is, there's one light. And you're either focused in on that light or you're focused on darkness. Period. Hard to believe it's that cut and dry, isn't it? Well, it is. The Bible says there was a man sent from God whose name was John, and the same came for a witness. To bear witness of the light that all men might through him, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Do you know that? Do you know that Christ reveals himself to every man that comes into the world? You know how I know that? The Bible tells us that God has given to every man the measure of faith. That's what the Bible says. God has given to every man the measure of faith. It also says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, those two statements could not be made if God intended for anybody to go to hell. I don't care what the Calvinist thinks. I don't care. They can be as proud about that as they want to be, but I'm here to tell you, God did not create people without the possibility of salvation. I don't care where they live. I don't care if they live over in Iran and all they've ever done is go to an imam and bow toward Mecca and praise Muhammad, the prophet, they call him, and praise Allah, the phony false god that ain't in existence at all, that they just simply use to as a pretext to go about killing people. Listen, it doesn't matter. God still would have them to be saved. God would still have them to be saved. He said, hey, what if they killed Christians? God would still have them to be saved. You say, how in the world can he do that? What about the Apostle Paul? Isn't that exactly what the Apostle Paul went about doing before he became the Apostle Paul? I hadn't finished here. He was in the world, verse 10, and the world was made by him. Are you hearing me? And the world knew him not. Isn't that what we're here to do? Getting to know Jesus. The world didn't even know him. He made the world. And they didn't know him. And he came unto his own. Came to the Jews. And his own received him not. They didn't want him. They rejected him. They crucified him. But listen to this. Glory to God. But as many as received him. I'm going to tell you something. I did. I received him. Amen. He was offered to me. And I said, yes, I need Jesus. Yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I need my sins forgiven. Yes, I want to be with God. Yes, I want a home in glory. Yes, please. Yes, yes, I want Jesus. I need him. Have I been perfect ever since I got saved? Oh, no. Was I promised to be perfect after I got saved? No. But I can tell you this. I set out to follow Jesus. I fell down. And then I got back up. And then I fell down and I got back up. And I fell down and I got back up. And I fell down and I got back up. And I fell down and I got back up. And I still fall down, but I get back up. Why? Because I'm following him. I'm not the perfect follower. I read a funny little poem this morning. Y'all have all heard Footprints in the Sand. This one was called Butt Prints in the Sand. I know you wasn't going to like that, but anyway. I can't remember the story, but it was talking about how he had a dream, a vision of a single set of footprints in the sand. He said, but then at one point, there was some round prints, and I knew they weren't feet. And the Lord said, I tried to get you to walk with me. And finally, I just plopped you down there on your rear end because you wouldn't. You've got to get up and walk. And that's probably some of our problems. Christ has been trying to get you to walk with him and trying to get you to walk with him. But the truth of it is, you don't love him like you should. And that's why you don't walk with him. He's carrying you. And you won't walk with him. And you're his, and he bought you, and he paid for you. But he's having to take you and tote you because you won't put your feet down on the ground and walk with him. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He gave you power to be a child of God. And you know what he gives us power to do? He gives us the power to walk with him. He gives us power to keep our eyes on him. He gives us power to love him. He gives us all the power we need to do what we ought to do. We just refuse to do it. Like petulant little children who don't care. Who feels like God owes us a favor, that God owes us everything. We're his. He ought to take care of us all. He ought to give us everything. We ought not have to do nothing. I'm going to tell you something. That's what's wrong with the children of this generation, because they feel that way. They look at their parents that way. And you know what they're doing? They're looking at God the same way. Give me. I deserve it all. Give me. And I ain't going to give you nothing back. Give me all of it. I want all, but I don't want to give you nothing. That's the way this generation, and it makes me sick, and it makes God sick. We're to love him. We're to love him. If he saves you, you better love him. He said, I'm the light of the world. Where are you going to turn for it? Where are you going to turn for that light? There ain't no light nowhere else. Oh, they'll tell you in the New Age movement that they have the light. They've got all kinds of books on the light, but they ain't got the light. Their light's a false light. The devil masquerades. The Bible says over in Colossians, I believe it is, where it says, and no wonder I lost the scripture out of my head just then. But the Bible talks about how Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. See, Satan comes at us like, oh, I've got all this wisdom. I've got all this. That's why the people over in India, they sit and they cross their legs and they sit under trees and they, oh, they try to get in touch with the universe. What are they looking for? They're looking for light. People flock to Tony Robbins seminars all over the country to hear how you can be the best you can be. Why? What are they looking for? They're looking for light. There are people who are into witchcraft, and they think that they're somehow going to find this light in witchcraft. There is no light there. The Bible says, listen to what Jesus says. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Hear me. He that followeth me, Jesus said, if you're going to come with me, you are not going to walk in darkness. You're going to walk in truth. You're going to walk in light. John 3:16, turn there. You know what it says, but I'm going to read it anyway. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him, listen to this, hear it. He that believeth on him, that means he's trusting Jesus. He's depending on Jesus. He's relying on Jesus. If he goes to hell, it'll all be because Jesus didn't save him, because he didn't believe. It won't be because of Jesus. He that believeth on him is not condemned. His sins are gone. But he that believeth not is condemned already. You hear that? If you're not saved, you're already condemned, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's the only way in. And this is the condemnation. That means that condemnation means this is the verdict. This is the conclusion of the matter. That light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They didn't want the light to shine upon their evil deeds. That's why people say, get that Bible out of here. Don't you preach to me. How dare you judge me. They say, don't you shine God's light on me and show me how wicked I am. Don't you dare tell me how wicked I am. I don't want to know. I don't want to hear it. Shut up. Get it away from me. You know why men don't like it? It eats at them. It hurts to have the truth put on you. You're wrong. It hurts. They don't like it. And they can have relief. They can be free from it. But they love their sin, you see. The Bible says they loved darkness. They loved it. Don't shine no light. I want to do my deeds. I love what I'm doing. Leave me alone. The Bible says, but he that doeth truth, the one who's seeking truth, the one who wants to be right, the one who wants relief, the one who wants deliverance, he cometh to the light that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. The man that looks for that, he comes to God. He says, God, show me what to do, because I want my deeds to be seen, that you're the one doing it in my life, that the light is working through me. Turn to John 12. John 12, verse 35. Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed. Okay, well, now, let's just look what he said there. Now, I realize he's speaking of himself being there with them. But listen, that's not just for that moment. Listen, I'd say that to anybody today. while somebody's trying to share Christ with them, while somebody's preaching the Word of God to them, while they're reading a gospel tract, however they're getting the truth, yet a little while is the light with you. Only a short season is the Holy Ghost of God going to reveal to you you're lost and need to be saved. The Holy Ghost is not going to stay on you your whole life about salvation. It's just a season that he's going to deal with you. And if you reject him, he may never come again. Yet a little while, you have a choice. Either to walk in darkness and walk right into hell, or you have a chance to walk in the light and be a child of God. Yet a little while, walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. Oh, yes, if you turn away from the light, you'll be swallowed up in the darkness forever. He that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. You'll never have the right way if you turn away from the light. You'll never find the right way. You'll never do it on your own, ever. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. Christ is pleading, believe on me and have God's light in your life. Proverbs 4:18, oh, it's so good. Listen to what it says. But the path of the just, that's the believer, your life, the path that God has for you, is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. That's when we're with Christ. That's when we're living in a glorified body in his presence. But listen, the path that we have to walk from here to Christ, from here to eternity, the Bible says it is as the shining light. God, remember what David said in the 23rd Psalm? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light. And that's not in the 23rd Psalm. What am I saying? But he said it in the Psalms. He said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But you know what he did say in the 23rd Psalm? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. What is he describing? He's describing comfort and peace and safety in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death. How can he say that? Because he has the light of the Word of God. He has the light of God all around him in the middle of the valley of the shadow of death. Matthew 6:19-23. Look at that. Matthew 6:19-23. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. People down here on this earth, they're working so hard to have riches and an abundance, and they want to have more than somebody else so they can say, I got more than you do. I'm better than you. I made more money than you. I'm richer than you. You're poor. You're no good. I mean, they want to look down upon other people who don't have what they have. They want the best, the finest, the wasteful. They want to be wasteful with it, telling us that having those things is not where it's about, what it's about. It's not where it's at. He said moth and rust will corrupt it. Moths eat holes in it. Rust eat holes in it. Thieves will break through and steal it. Try to make it secure. I'm sure in 1929, all those oil barons and steel barons and all them guys thought it was all safe there in the stock market. But guess what? It crashed, and many of them bankers jumped to their death out of the windows. Why? Because they knew their lives were ruined, because they had spent all their life amassing this earthly treasure that was gone in an instant. I'm going to tell you something. God tells us to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. And he says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's why those men jumped out of those windows, because their treasure was gone and they had nothing left to live for, so their life ended. But I'm going to tell you, when your treasure is laid up in heaven, you got something to live for. You got something to look forward to. You got something ahead of you. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And if your treasure is in standing before your Savior someday, and looking around and seeing the faces of those who your life impacted for Christ. I'm going to tell you, it's so exciting when somebody talks to you and tells you what you did impacted me. What you said, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to share this with you. I didn't do anything. I can't take credit for nothing. This past week, I went to work for a lawn care service, took a second job, and I went to work with a lady I'd worked for 18 years ago. She's a very godly woman, and her husband own that business, and she runs it. Very sweet Christian lady. Nearly every house we go to, she ends up going in and either speaking a word of encouragement or praise with the people that we mow for. I mean, it's incredible the ministry God has allowed her to have. And you know what? There's a boy working with us. And he grew up in church, but he'd been out of church, and he used profanity, he don't want to get on her toes or anything, but kind of got a crude mouth to him. I worked with him 3 days this week. She told me the last day I worked with him, she said, "I want to tell you something." Said, "We dropped you off the other day." Said, he said, "You know what? That's a good man right there." And I'm not even good. I know that. But he saw Christ in me. Because I was talking about some of the trials and tribulations that I had gone through. And he asked me, why you keep going? And I shared with him. I said, because Lord ain't through with me yet. And every pit the devil tried to drag me into, I refuse to go into it because I know the Lord is going to carry me over that. And I've shared that with him. And we laughed and we cut up and we joked some and we had a good time working together. And he said to her, he said, "You know," he said, I believe I'm fixing to get my life right with God." He said, "Because working with him showed me, so you can be a Christian and have fun, have a good time too." He said, "I need to get my life cleaned up." I don't see how I had anything to do with that. All I did was do my job. All I did was just be nice. All I did was try to encourage. I'm on my life's mission here. No, I was just being a Christian. Now, I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on God because God worked through me. I didn't do it. But you know what? That's what we can all do everywhere we go. It doesn't have to be a church-sanctioned event where we go and do something for God. Go do it. You are at a church-sanctioned event everywhere you are at church, no matter who you are. You are part of this. You are at church. You can do something for somebody anywhere you go. Be the light that God wants you to be. The Bible says the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, and we've talked about this before, if your eye is on Jesus, thy whole body shall be full of light. If you are seeking him out as the source of your everything, and you've got your eyes on him, not just the eyes of your body, but the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your soul. If you are focused on Christ Jesus, then he will flood your life. Listen, if I spent all my time watching one particular thing on television or movies or whatever and just flooded my life with it, before long, all I'm going to be able to talk about is what I've been watching. Because what goes in is what's going to come out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Whatever I put in is going to come out. If my eye is on Jesus, and I'm spending time with Jesus, and I spend my time talking to others about Jesus, if I spend my time trying to be like Jesus, that's what people are going to see, is Jesus in my life. That's what they're going to see. When you kids go to school, if you quit being you and you'll try to focus more on trying to let Jesus shine forth, if you'll talk to others in a way that the Lord would have you talk to them, then they're going to see Christ in you. And that's why you're here. 1 John 2:9-11. He that saith he is in the light, because a lot of people do. "Oh, yeah, I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. I love Jesus, blah, blah, blah." But you know what? He that saith he's in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Is there anybody you hate? Can you think of anybody in your life that you hate? Well, if you do, I'm just telling you what God says. If you hate your brother, you're in darkness. You're not supposed to hate. Jesus equates hate with murder. You hate somebody, you want them dead. You just assume they were destroyed and gone and murdered because you got a spiritual murder in your heart. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. You know what? You can't do it. Your physical flesh cannot love somebody you despise. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't hate anybody. Are there some people I don't like? Sure. You can not like them. You can realize that being around them is caustic and cancerous to your life and say, you know what? I have to cut them out of my life, but I don't hate them. Because you know what? I want God to save them. I want God to save them and change them and they're not being that person anymore. Whether it helps me, benefits me, or whatever, I don't care. I just don't want them to go to hell. Believe me, there's some people in my life that I have, I know. We've all felt like that about somebody. But you know what? I can't stay there. I can't stay there. I can't stay there seething under the surface, wishing they were destroyed, relishing anything bad that happens to them. Can't do that. That's not how Christ would be. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not where he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. You know what? You may say, well, I love Jesus, but if you hate somebody, you're just walking around in blindness and not knowing where you're going and thinking you do. Thinking you do. That's the crazy thing about it. You go through life thinking you're following Jesus, but you're not really, because you got hate in your heart. And he can't speak to you when you got hate in your heart. You can't hear him. You can't see him. But I'm going to tell you something. You come to Jesus and you say, I want your light, I want your love, I want you filling my life. That's what Jesus was telling them. He said, if you drink of my blood and eat of my flesh, you got to do that. And they said, that's too hard for us to grasp. And again, like I said the other day, he's just simply saying, you need me. You need me in you. And if you have him in you, you have the light of the Word of God coming through you. You and I are nothing but a vessel. That's all we are. We're a vessel for God to use. Just like this morning, I needed to take my supplements and things. And I asked my wife, I said, would you get me that little glass over there and fill it up and give me some water so I can take my pills before I leave? And sure enough, she did. It was a little vessel, and I'm just like that little vessel, just here to transport God's light, God's love, God's truth to somebody else who needs a drink of it. That's all I am. And when I pour it out to somebody else, I need to go right back and get under the fountain of the Word of God and get full again, and then go back and find somebody else who's thirsty and give them a drink, and then go back and get under the spout again and get some more truth and go back and get, that's what we're to do constantly. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but the last part of it, but shall have the light of life. But shall have the light of life. John 7:17 says, if any man will do his will, you got to make up your mind that I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Can I ask you a question? Have you come to that point in your life where I'm not saying you're just giving God lip service, just trying to, you know, like, I know kids do it all the time. Take care of that. Oh, yeah, I'll do it. And then what happened? I forgot. I meant to, but I forgot. I was going to do it later. How many excuses can we hear? We've heard a lot of them, haven't we? I meant to. I just didn't get to it. Something else came up. Somebody wanted me to do something, and I forgot. Well, no. If a man will do his will, that means he wills it into happening. He says, I am making up my mind today that I am going to follow what God wants rather than what I want or what everybody else around me wants. Have you ever come to that point in your life? If you haven't, it's time you got there, because you are never going to amount to anything as a believer until you do, because up until that time, you're just fighting God every step. You just like you, it's like I said, that little poem, God's toting you, he's trying to, and you're fighting and kicking, let me down the whole way. I want to do what I want to do. That's the way we're being, like a screaming two-year-old that wants down. But if any man will do his will, listen here, he shall know of the doctrine. So people say, I just don't understand the Bible. It's because you're not trying to walk with God. Let me tell you something. Hey, I heard this years ago in a sermon, and the preacher said, you live in this book. You live in it. And I guarantee you, you'll understand this book. But you got to live in it, because you got to live with the one who gave you eternal life. Otherwise, you won't know him. And if you don't know him, you can't understand him. If you don't understand him, you can't follow him. It's not an every Sunday thing. It's an everyday thing. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, John 14:6. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You can't get there some other way. You've got to go with him. So Jesus, at the break of day, is the light. He's coming up over the horizon there in Jerusalem, shining in on them as they sit in the temple, still reeling from the episode that happened right before them. The light of the world, as the sun beamed on their faces, explained to them that light there is not the light of the world. He was. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to end it on a good note. Turn the Bible to Revelation 21. I want to show you the light of the world there. Revelation 21, beginning of verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a great wall, a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs, and the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was as jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth a sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the city of the street was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Listen, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, they which are the written in the Lamb's book of life. Listen, I'm thankful, so thankful for the day, I should say the night, that the light of Jesus Christ was revealed unto me by the Holy Spirit of God. Standing there that night, I realized that I was a lost sinner. I realized that night that my sins stood in the way between me and God. I realized that night that I was hopelessly, helplessly lost. And that night, God revealed to me that His Son was able to take that sin away and was able to create a new creature in me, to make me not to take the old, wretched, filthy, vile part of me, but to create a whole new part of me that had never existed before. And He did. He put His Spirit within me. He created a spirit within me, and He brought me to life. And that life has continued on with Him. And His light has shined into my life. His light has guided me. His light has revealed to me His truth. His light has shown me opportunities to serve Him. His light will guide me throughout all the problems and tribulations of life. His light will carry me through and through to my death and into the other side, onto His shores. And it will carry me into someday into that glorious city where He is the light forevermore. And I live in His glorious presence. And I say to you this morning, if you don't know that kind of relationship with Christ, I urge you with everything in me to fall upon your knees before God and tell Him, I need that, Jesus. I need that. I need to be in a relationship with you like that. Maybe you've been saved, but you've never stepped out by faith and walked with Him. Listen, don't just make Jesus carry you the whole way. Put your feet on the ground and walk with Him. Get in the yoke with Him and learn of Him. Come to Him and say, I want the light of God to shine in every corner of my life. I want You to expose the wrongdoing in my life. I want You to shine the light on the things that You don't like. And Lord, give me grace and mercy to be able to leave those things behind and walk with You in freedom and in love. I urge you this morning, those of you listening to me under the sound of my voice out there, wherever you may be, if you're not saved, if you've not been born again, if your sins have not been forgiven, I plead with you today, fall upon your knees. Ask Jesus Christ to wash your sins away and to make you free in Him. And He will. He'll give you eternal life. And I'm telling you today, if you're saved but you're backslidden, if you're cold, if you realize that you're not where you ought to be with God, I urge you, bow your head and ask Him to bring you up to where you ought to be. I ask you to plead with Him to light your path and show you the way, because you'll never find it on your own. Don't you be foolish. Don't you waste any more time of your life. Give it to God and let Him have you. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank You this morning for the Word of God. Lord, I come before You on behalf of everyone that heard the message this morning. Oh, Lord Jesus, I thank You that You'll not turn anybody away, but that all are welcome. All who will come, whosoever will, may come. Lord, I pray for those who are lost, who are considering being saved this morning, who You're dealing with. Oh, Lord, I pray that Lord, they might turn to You and let go of everything that's holding them back and believe and be saved. Lord, I pray for the ones this morning, Lord, who may be realizing that their Christian life doesn't amount to much. It doesn't amount to near enough. And that they're wrong to make You play second place to whatever else they love in their life. Father, forgive us. Grant us, Lord, the forgiveness that we need. Grant us, Lord, deliverance. And we'll give You glory. We'll give You the praise. We thank You. And we ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.